Over the last couple of months, there have been plenty of major changes considered as part of the ongoing state budget process. The area facing maybe the biggest changes is K through 12 education.
From changes to voucher programs and standardized tests to the way teachers become qualified to teach, our next guest says Wisconsin is remaking the educational system, and it's not clear what the end result will be.
Joining us now is Alan Borsick. He's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He writes a column about education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, Alan, there's a lot to keep track of here, but you say maybe the biggest story and the biggest changes will come from a continuation of not increasing school funding, decreasing, no increases. Why is that the biggest deal?
Well, you could certainly make a case that a statewide voucher program is a big deal, and I'd make that a close second, shall we say, and maybe 10 or 15 years from now, I might reverse the two. Nonetheless, it's been really 6 years, going back to the last budget under Governor Doyle, actually, that there's been no significant increases in the amount of money available to public schools. And, of course, you factor in Act 10 when there was a decrease offset by some increased latitude for financial control for school districts. But nonetheless, the lid's been on for a long time, and now it's going to be on another 2 years. And you really have to ask, how long can you go without increasing spending at times when prices are going up for things as simple as utilities and busing costs and supplies? And it's not only the big ticket items like health insurance or raises to employees. How long can you go like this without really paying a price in what schools are able to do and what quality of education there is?
Are we starting to see those impacts yet in actually happening in the classroom?
Well, yes and no. I'd say no in the sense that I don't want to overstate the severity of things out there. I think just about every school in Wisconsin, including ones that are often labeled as low performing, is functioning on a day-to-day basis, and many of them are functioning very, very well. So you got to give a lot of credit to the overall quality of the public school system and in general, the education of K to 12 children in Wisconsin. But yes, the morale among teachers is poor. I think there's some real questions about who's going into teaching these days. Enrollment's down in teacher education programs around the state. I think you ask just about any school administrator or teacher if they're able to do some of the even smaller things they used to be able to do, school supplies and purchases of materials, or the number of adults in school, which is not a small thing, teachers' aides, safety aides, cafeteria staff. It isn't so much number of teachers as the number of adults in a school that have been reduced in many places. So, yeah, you're starting to see it. And I think the sense of unease in the public school sector particularly is very high, and that's true statewide. It's not just a Milwaukee thing.
And that's a point you raised, that there's starting to be pushback not just from maybe Madison, Milwaukee. There's pushback from suburban school administrators too.
Yes. I mean, it's very interesting to me in the Milwaukee area. Some of the most adamant advocacy for fighting budget cuts is coming from places like Wauwatosa, which, of course, is the home community of Governor Walker, from school districts like Elmbrook, which is Brookfield and Elm Grove, very well-to-do conservative areas. The superintendent of Kettle Moraine in Waukesha County, also very Republican-voting area, took part in a press conference last week opposing a flat budget picture for schools and said, the people in my district don't understand what this means. And that's pretty powerful thought. And I think you're seeing it more among parents and community groups and not just a small number of people. I think it struck a chord, which is why the Republicans rolled back the $127 million cut in education spending that the governor proposed.
And you said already voucher schools, the big expansion is the other of the big two stories here. What changes there?
Well, it's been 4 years now since the notion of of expanding the voucher program beyond Milwaukee began, first in Racine with the 2011 budget, then in 2013 with a small statewide program, small in the sense that it was capped at 1,000 kids for this school year. And in this budget, and don't ask me why all these things are included in budgets and not in actual bills considered by public hearings and such, but in any case, in this budget, the doors open to vouchers statewide with a cap that eases every year for the next decade, and after a decade is eliminated. So you've got about 100,000 kids in Wisconsin going to private schools. What percentage of them would qualify for vouchers? Because there is an income limit that would be kind of middle class and lower. How many of those are going to be on public support of their education in private and religious schools is unknown, but now the door is really open to a huge change. People who've been warning that we're going to end up with two school systems, the public school system and the private school publicly funded system, and that the state can't afford both, they're really speaking up at this point saying, look, we told you this was coming, and you have to wonder again, how much are they on track with keeping the future in mind?
Alan, briefly, when we look back, you list some other things in a recent piece. Are we going to look back at 2015 and say this, for better or worse, was a turning point in Wisconsin education?
Well, I would emphasize the better or worse phrase because I don't want to take too strong a personal policy stand, but the simple answer is yes. There's stuff in this budget that is very momentous, keeping the lid on spending, the statewide vouchers, the changes in teacher licensing. There's a variety of the end of some long time programs that were very popular. Chapter 220, voluntary racial integration, the not controversial but nonetheless very interesting more or less end of the SAGE program, reducing class sizes.
A lot there, Alan. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
There's a ton of stuff there. Yeah.
Alan Borsuk, senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School.